Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. And what is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode. As always, we got DJ Wavy D with me, and we're going to break down the last week of wrestling. But before we get to that, as always, go ahead and hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave a review for us. Hit the Discord link while you're in the description. Go ahead and join that Discord. You could vote on our bracket battles best theme music going on down there, and join the conversation. You get me and Wavy D here with the Slap and Meat podcast, and you also will get conversation on the Beyond the Junkyard show, which is every Thursday. The links will be posted in the Discord. They're going to be doing their dynasty prediction. It's a pay-per-view week for AEW, so something crazy going to happen this week. There's always bad news that comes out of AEW on pay-per-view week. So, with that, let's jump right into our Let's Get Cooking segment. WWE's inducting matches as immortal moments into the Hall of Fame now. With that being said, we have Austin and Bret Hart being inducted this year. The question's simple. What are some other matches that you would like to see inducted into the Hall of Fame? I'll let you start.
I'm not gonna lie, this is a very interesting topic, because I feel like this is long overdue now that the idea has been bestowed upon me. Now that I hear the idea, I feel like, why not sooner? But we have a lot of great matches to pick from. Like, for example, a masterpiece that comes to mind, even though it's not from WWE. I assume we're doing just WWE, possibly WCW, ECW kind of stuff that they own.
The stuff that they own, I would assume, would be what they would end up.
So stuff that they have the right to, right? Yeah, the video package rights to. I was going to say, you're really missing out on Kushida versus Hiromu Takasaki from New Japan Pro Wrestling, Sakura Genesis 2017.
Absolutely.
You're missing out on that match. But in all seriousness, a match I would put up there would probably be Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, WrestleMania 24.
I just watched that the other day. That was great.
Beautiful match. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, the first one at WrestleMania 25. Ray versus Eddie, Halloween Havoc.
97, absolutely. That's my favorite match of all time.
Cena versus Punk, Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Mick Foley, Edge, and their hardcore match, WrestleMania 22.
Okay.
That's a small list for me. I mean, if you want to do NXT, I know Andrade and Johnny Gargano is looked on as the best NXT match of all time. Up there with Sasha Bailey.
Yeah, at least on the men's side. I would say Sasha Bailey at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn definitely needs to be in. I would say Gargano and Ciampa. I think it was TakeOver Chicago. One of them should be in if we're doing NXT. You mentioned Michaels and Flair. I was going to say that. I think Triple H and Undertaker, end of an era. Yeah, that should be in there. I think Daniel Bryan winning the title at Mania 30, just because if we're booking this as like immortal moments, that's a big moment that should be in. I think the Hardys, Edge and Christian,
the SummerSlam ladder match.
That one and the didn't they do like a TLC match at Mania with the Dudleys, ENC, and
it was there were three of them, right? There was one at SummerSlam, one at Mania, and one at Royal Rumble.
It could have been, I don't remember where the third one was, but at least one of them should be in. I think that
which was the one where Edge got speared off the or Jeff got speared off the titles. Was that one that was at Mania, right?
I think that one was the Mania one.
Yeah, I like that one the best.
Yeah. I think this one will never happen because of who's in it, but Benoit winning the title would be there. It's not going to be, but it should be.
Do you think most of the moments or most of the matches will be from Mania, or do you think they'll pluck matches from all different
events? I think initially it'll be from Mania because it'll sort of like promote WrestleMania, but eventually you're going to run out of Mania matches to put in there.
From where we started right now, it's going to be years until you run out of Mania matches.
Yes. I think Hogan, Andre, they've pushed that moment so much. Eventually that'll be put in. And this isn't like a big moment to a lot of like casual fans, but Hogan versus Iron Sheik at Madison Square Garden, where like Hulkamania started, I think that should be in there. But yeah, there's a whole. You could go back to the '60s with Bruno and stuff. I'm sure they'll start doing stuff like that. There's probably some ECW matches that I know. Nick Khan's a big New Jack fan, so maybe we'll get one of his matches. And
that boy dangerous.
Nick Khan's the only reason New Jack's in the new video game this year.
So, he's in the game this year.
He's one of the DLCs.
See, I'm still playing. When I buy the game, the first thing I play is My Rise.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the story mode. Yeah, Loki.
Is it better this year?
I didn't play the story mode last year. Last year was who's on the cover last year? Cody? No.
Cody, yeah.
I think I played the year before.
Okay.
But anyways, I wish that they took the creativity that they have in their video game storylines and brought those into their real life storylines.
Yeah.
Cause they got like this whole like NXT of like the first storyline when you get in the game. I'm not spoiling too much. It's only the first chapter of the story is there's like an NXT mutiny where they invade Raw and SmackDown and like they take over and like NXT stars like Kevin Owens and Bayley go to the NXT side and like Johnny Gargano and all them and you're a creative player. You have your man or your woman and you create like from both sides. And then you run a story mode with both a man and a woman, and you play both sides of the story. But they got to bring that creativity.
Yeah.
And then you get screwed over by CM Punk. Oh, my gosh. He's like the voice of the voiceless.
Yeah. That would have been good on TV, but, you know. So with that, we'll move on to our weekly discussion, breaking down the results from Raw and SmackDown. I didn't watch this past week's episode of SmackDown, so Wavy D's going to have to hold us down on this one. What was your thoughts on SmackDown this week? Or on last Friday?
Let's see. I did watch SmackDown. One second. I got to refresh my memory real fast. This one had the contract signing, right?
Yeah, this is where we finally get confirmed that CM Punk will finally main event WrestleMania.
Okay, yeah. So on SmackDown this week, just to recap for you guys, we had a WWE Tag Team Championship match. The Street Profits defeated Pretty Deadly via pinfall. We had Bret Hart versus Stone Cold. The WrestleMania 13 was inducted into the Hall of Fame. The secret Hervis, which is Isle of Fire, Piper Niven, defeated Caden Carter and Katana Chance. This was my bathroom break match.
Yeah,
nothing, you know, and this mostly for Ken and Carter kind of chance. Like, I know they weren't gonna win, like, you know.
Yeah.
United States Championship match, Braun Strowman defeated LA Knight via disqualification after Jacob Fatu attacked Strowman. You know, the titles don't change hands, so LA Knight's still your champion. Fatu and Jacob Solo Sikoa had a big altercation, like a verbal altercation. Naomi attacked B-Fab and Meechan. Jade Cargo came to the rescue, forcing Naomi to flee. Charlotte Flair defeated Meechan via submission after locking up a figure eight. Drew McIntyre defeated Randy Orton via pinfall. McIntyre hit Orton with a Claymore kick after Orton was distracted by Kevin Owens in the aisle. We got a video package. Rey Fénix will make his WWE debut next week on SmackDown. So Rey Fénix is officially coming to SmackDown this Friday. Jimmy Uso defeated The Miz via pinfall. And then Damian Priest chokeslammed Drew McIntyre onto the car windshield. I'm not going to lie, now that I'm looking at this, I definitely did not watch SmackDown this week. I swear I had SmackDown on in the background.
Yeah.
And because, well, what did I want to see? I initially wanted to see the contract signing.
Right.
I wanted to see, well, oh yeah. I tuned in to see the Randy Orton promo.
Okay.
Because Randy Orton had a nice ass promo. And so I was watching that, and then I'm pretty sure I had to use the bathroom, before that was the Street Profits tag team match, and I called it Friday Night Picture in Picture in the group chat.
Yeah.
And so the picture kind of got me all like uninterested, and then we got hit with the Katana Chance and Kane Carter tag team match. So at that point, I stopped watching SmackDown. And then what did I do the rest of Friday? I probably like took a nap. I probably played some Marvel Rivals.
Yeah.
What else did I do? I don't know. But then I did come back to watch the contract signing. I came back to watch that.
And I mean, the contract signing. You watched the most important parts of the show.
Exactly. I watched Randy Orton promo. And the contract signing.
that sort of appears to be the theme with WWE. They start hot and hot, and in the middle, it's a bunch of the filler stuff. Yeah. So we'll move to Raw. I know you watched all the Raw. I watched all the Raw. So.
Well, the contract signing. Before we move on, I stick to my guns that Seth Rollins feels like the odd one out in this story, which is crazy because he has the history of Roman, history with Punk. Right. Punk doesn't really have history with Roman that much. Roman with Punk, they don't really have too much history with each other. But so Rollins has the most history with them, but he feels like the odd one out in the story. And during the contract signing, CM Punk was like looking through the contract, trying to find the part about the WrestleMania main event, make sure it was in there. Roman guaranteed it was in there. But CM Punk still told Heyman that wasn't the favor. So we're still teasing what this favor is.
Right,
and so I'm not sure what this favor is. I really don't know what the favor is at this point, unless the favor is like they boot Seth Rollins last minute. Like I really don't know what this favor is. Do you have any idea what this favor could be? I thought it was gonna be the main event the whole time.
Right. So my thought was they were gonna have the story where it was going to be Roman and Seth and Punk forced his way in with the favor. So that's what I thought the favor was this whole time. The only other thing I could have thought it would have been was Paul Heyman cost Roman the match and rejoins, you know, that the favor is to help CM Punk win. I don't know that would seem like a bit of a letdown, like underwhelming result of what this thing you've been teasing for like the last 6 months. I have no idea. I kind of wish they would hurry up and tell us what it is, because it feels like it's just dragging on at this point.
The only possible favor I can see at this point is that the winner of the, like, it's like a number one contender match of like some sorts, or maybe. Right. Maybe Paul Heyman talks to The Rock for him to get CM Punk a part of The Rock's faction. I don't know. I don't know what the hell this thing is anymore. Besides him turning on Roman,
Right. Right.
It just doesn't make sense though.
Who knows? Well, eventually they'll let us know. So we moved to Monday Night Raw, and for the first time in a while, I can say that WWE gave us a very good, if not great, show. I feel for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've sort of just been going through the motions. But this Monday Night Raw, I think, was about near perfect. And it really is centered on three segments. The starting segment with Cody Rhodes and Cena. The Gunther segment, which, let me tell you something. This man Gunther, he cooking right now. I know we've been hating on Gunther here in the casual circle for the last couple months.
No, this not we.
Okay, Wavy D hasn't. You know, Wavy D hasn't. He's been standing on Gunther's business. He's been standing on business with him.
For my sign language people who are watching, I stand on business.
But yeah, Gunther doing business right now, and we'll talk about that. And then the ending, kind of predictable, this championship match, but I still think it did a good job. And then we got some filler in between. We're not going to talk much about the filler. Tyler Bates back, which is cool, but I don't necessarily. I mean, that tag division's so janky right now. I don't think it matters. And so let's start with the John Cena versus Cody Rhodes face to face promo. Let's start. What were your thoughts on this promo? I know you still think Cena sort of like forcing it. So
I think Cody cooked him. All right, I'm gonna start getting shirts made. It's a Cody cooked him shirts. Mm. Welcome to the Cody cookout, because Cody's cooking them all. Okay, no matter who Cody gets in the ring with, he's cooking them on the mic. Okay, Cody is a top five promo in the business right now.
Okay,
arguably top three. Definitely top five, arguably top three. Cody is a top five promo in the business right now. Cena, when I'm watching this man and listening to this man talk, and I'm watching his mannerisms and hearing his voice, he reminds me of like a fifth grade drama teacher reading Shakespeare to his kids. It's like he's trying to give you the I'm angry voice, or I'm the pissed off voice, or I'm the disappointed voice. And like, it doesn't sound authentic. It sounds like a man who, it sounds like an outsider who's like reading a wrestling script, trying, like, who's like a rookie down in the evolve, trying to cut his first promo and make it sound believable. Like when Cena was a face and he would get into the promos and he'd get energetic and he'd get me behind him. Like, you know, Cena was very impactful and he was very motivational. And he could turn a promo, some dog water, into fucking magic sauce. And I don't know if it's like he alluded to WWE like holding him back, not letting him come at Cody yet. They like take the leash, you know, the leash off yet. John Cena don't want that smoke, okay? He don't want that smoke. But even if he can't take the full shots at Cody like he wanted to, which I feel like he finally did last night, he finally took some of the shots that he wanted to and WWE wanted him to, but he just doesn't sound authentic. It sounds like it's like a meta character. It's like, I'm John Cena playing John Cena as a heel. Like he's acting like he's in a movie. It seems very meta and this is not my cup of tea. Cody Rhodes is cooking on all cylinders, no grease. All right. That's all I gotta say on Cody. I feel like he's putting in his great promo work. I like the Vince line, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, ooh, my God, yeah. It was like, you know, I feel like we could mention Vince without it being too much of a like a, oh my God, he said Chris Benoit. Like I don't feel like Vince at Benoit level as far as TV. I mean, I get it, but
right.
You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like saying Adolf Hitler, so you know, so his name's not up there. But they got a nice pop out of me. I was like, you know, ha ha ha. But yeah, that's where I stand on this. I know currently John Cena's not advertised for another show until Mania. I don't know what they're gonna do with just Cody in the ring for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
I assume The Rock shows up one of these weeks.
Right.
I'm also assuming John Cena shows up the Friday before Mania, because like everybody's already in town. Right. So Cena should show up for something, at least a video package or a via satellite. We still need to know why John Cena joined The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, if you want to like IWC it and be like, read between the lines and piece it together, I'm sure we can make some type of connection. But like, as far as John Cena saying his reason, say your reason. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So I'm going to disagree with you. I think Cena cooked last night. However, I think the last 3 weeks, they've sort of just been sort of drip feeding us content from Cena. Week one, it was, you know, I'm going to diss the fans. You guys are ungrateful, this, that, and everything. Week two was a little bit more of the same. And then week three was, you want your why. Why did I turn on you, Cody? Well, you disgust me. But there's still one gaping plot hole. Why is The Rock a part of this? And so not having The Rock there, not having Cena mention The Rock, I think is the one thing that is missing in the storyline. Now, I'm not anti the storyline. I actually think the promo last night really juiced the story and got me more interested in it. I think so. I understand your point. Cena is a little corny, I will say. This heel gimmick is a little bit corny, but I don't necessarily think it's that makes it necessarily bad. I think we have this expectation of like corporate Cena coming out in like suits and all of that. I think it's just a little bit different style of a heel promo. You know, I think he cooked as well. Cody held his own. That's the one thing I took from this. You think Cody's a great promo. I think since he's been in the company, his promos have been corny, corporate, like, I think, like, forced. Like, I hate Cody on the mic. I'll be honest with you. Last night, though, was, I think, his greatest promo since he's rejoined WWE. Cena's the hardest person to go promo against. He exposed The Rock in the buildup to, was it 28, when The Rock had the notes written on his wrist. He exposed Roman in that SummerSlam build. And I mean, Cena even mentioned it. You know, people say I bury talent on the mic. I think the I am talent line was good. I think the mentioning of, you know, I make empires for billionaires, you just steal their son's money. I think that little dig at AEW was good.
I took that as taking money from Stephanie and Triple H.
No, that was definitely a dig of him taking money from Tony Khan.
Well, he said sons, he said children's.
Right, so it's Chad Khan's money that he's taken from.
I mean, it makes sense now, but when I was listening to it,
yeah. So live, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both, and it's so. One of the things. One of the critiques I've heard about it is from some more casual fans on like Twitter and X, are that the promo used a lot of like insider language and stuff that only the IWC would know. I don't think it was that bad. I'll just be personal. But I also think like we got to stop treating wrestling fans like they're dumb. A lot of us, even the casuals, understand the insider language at this point. And so I think some of the more old school fans just need to evolve with the times.
But which part of it was insider language? I mean,
I don't know exactly what they were mentioning, but
saying like heel and face, like we know what.
Right.
They use it in their video games.
But essentially, Cena's promo went down and said, "Hey, bro, you're just a mark like the rest of these fans." And I'll be honest. Like, the reason I like a heel Cena is I can cheer for heel Cena. He basically said, you know, Cody, you're riding my coattails. I wrote the blueprint. You stole it from me, and you're living off of everything I created. I think last night was what was needed in this story. The problem is the next 2 weeks Cena's not advertising. We can't build on this momentum. I think they're in Minneapolis next Monday, and in Sacramento, the go home show for Raw. Cena has to show up on one of those. I do think maybe the go home SmackDown in Vegas, he'll show up. I just like we said at the beginning when I started, that gaping hole of what The Rock has to do with it hasn't been exposed, and until that happens, that's the one thing making this story sort of not complete to me. But I think it's as it is right now. I could see this as a Mania match, and it works. I don't know if I like it main eventing, to be honest with you. I get why it is, but we'll move forward. The next big segment, Gunther. This thing cooked. I know you liked it. You mentioned it in the Discord. What's your thoughts on this?
So I was watching the match. I was enjoying the match. It was a cool match. And then the beatdown started. And I was like, okay, the beatdown started. And then I thought it was over. It went to commercial break. Right. And as it went to commercial break, I dozed off a little bit. I was dozing off. And then I opened my eyes back up. And next thing I know is I see Jay, who's like handcuffed to the rope. You see some big news or something?
Yeah, we mentioned Swipe Right. They just stepped up the Fraxium on NXT.
Already? Yeah, they're getting loved. Yeah. So Swipe Right, next big thing. Yeah,
let's go.
We got an eye for talent.
Right. Right.
Like, we're out here seeing them in their week one Evolve, which just aired, and then we're seeing them on being used on these indie shows.
Yeah,
we're telling you, Swipe Right's gonna be your next big thing.
Absolutely.
Here they are, already on NXT TV.
Absolutely, it's great.
But
back to what you were saying. Sorry.
Yes, no, you're good. So I was opening up my eyes, and I see Jay handcuffed to the rope, and I see Jimmy getting beat up again. And I'm like, okay, he's still getting beat up. Yeah. And then I see get a little bloody, and then more bloody, and then Gunther got blood on him. And like Gunther looked like a serial killer. Like he looked like he was fresh out of what's that famous horror film
from Friday the 13th or
no, back in like the 50s or 60s or 70s. The one with the mom in the shower in the hotel, Norman Bates or something like that.
Yeah.
Where he has like his mom's wig on and kills people. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. That's what Gunther was looking like. He just looked like a serial killer with blood all over him. And Gunther looked fucking vicious, bro. And again, this is what we need from this feud. This feud has picked up over the last 2 weeks especially.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I've always, you know, it kind of suffered that there was such a big break between Rumble and Mania. That it, you know, they slow burned it,
yeah.
And now we're picking up this pace to where I can see this in the main event slot. Maybe I can see it sneaking in night one, especially if Cody and Cody and Cena don't quite do it for me personally on a one on one. I can see this sneaking up there.
Okay.
Especially if they keep putting fuel on the fire like they are.
Yeah. So this thing. So I had to take a step back and realize that, I mean, this would typically be Mania week if this was like normal Mania scheduling, but they did back it up 3 weeks. And so with that being said, they did have to slow burn this. This basically got, it's actually 2 months to the day since Royal Rumble. So we've basically had 60 days and then another, 17 on top of it until Mania. So you basically have 2.5 months to tell this story. And it started really slow. We're talking like Jey Uso, he's yeeting every week, and that's basically all he's being used for. He's getting choked out. He's befriending, literal jobbers and Otis and Tozawa. And then by mere accident, he botches a spot. And this sort of like turns a light bulb on, and whoever's producing this segment, and they use that, and they make it personal for Jey. And I think adding Jimmy to the story completely changed the course and made it better.
I'm starting to think that dive was botched on purpose.
I'm starting to think that too.
Because it looked like really, really it wasn't like he like barely cleared the ropes,
right,
got his foot stuck. Everyone
said he top dollared it, but top dollar just completely hit the ropes and flopped.
Yeah.
This looked a little bit like this was the plan the whole time. But this version of Gunther, the bloody Gunther that we see last night, this was the Gunther that all of us have been claiming we wanted. We need this Gunther who's willing to go a little bit across that line of too far.
Yep.
So I want to ask you this question, because immediately when this happened, Gunther, he wipes his chest off and there's blood on his hand and he licks his hand. And immediately, I knew this would happen. The AEW marks went out here and said, oh, when it happens on AEW, it's a bad thing. But when Gunther does it,
he licked and spit it.
I need to just say this. There is a complete difference in Gunther licking a drop of blood off of his hand and then immediately spitting it out. And Adam Hangman Page drinking blood from a leaking Swerve Strickland's head. There is a total difference in that. They're not comparable.
And also, mind you, when you use blood sparingly,
right?
When you use it maybe like 4 times a year, they mostly use it in their build up to SummerSlam or Mania.
Right. Right.
We're not using it on a random.
Revolution. Dynamite. Revolution did blood in four different matches. Just at Revolution, and then you get the spike spot 2 weeks after. So this
on
was
free
actually
TV.
Right. This which should have happened at the pay per view, by the way, but because that's a pay per view spot. But I just this is my argument with AEW fans. You guys use blood too much, and a lot of them will come back and be like, well, sorry, you like the Mickey Mouse show. Go watch Elmo. And that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is blood. So we talk about, Austin and Bret Hart are going in the Hall of Fame. They never used blood at that time period. And a lot of people will say that this match was sort of the start of the Attitude Era. It was March of 97, I think, was when it happened. That crimson mask of Stone Cold, that made that moment, that match, feel so much more important because it never was seen in WWE. And so considering the last time we really saw, Cena's turn was the only spot on the Elimination Chamber card where you could have used blood in the barbed wire spot with Owens and Sami Zayn, but you didn't. Because you saved it for the end where Cody Rhodes was bleeding. And then we haven't had blood since then until this night. So it's saving it for important spots and using it when it builds to an important story. And this really puts some juice back. I agree with you. This needs to be a main event. I think this feud over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, has grown to a spot where I could see this main eventing. And the last thing is, so Dante, formerly of Stash Club, he posted on X last night that he thinks Gunther has to win this match now. Just like he wants to see this version of Gunther have a title run. Do you agree? Do you not agree?
I I don't agree that Gunther has to win the match. I really think that Jay needs to win it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if Jay doesn't win this match, it's literally like, okay, your turn is up.
Right.
Like give Jay the win, get him his title win, get the merch out, get the
celebration. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be this could be like a month long thing, and yeah. Gunther gets it back at Backlash or something.
Literally, I think this is the type of title thing that goes until SummerSlam, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a short, like 2-3 months, like a 3-monther. Like, I don't see Jay's reign being super long. Get the celebration in, get the merch in, get the documentaries ready, get all that ready, get the Daniel Bryan moment, mm-hmm. and then you put like another star up there, like a Bron Breakker or a. Or a Drew McIntyre. Oh no, Drew's on SmackDown. But you know,
I'm assuming we'll have a draft though after Mania. So mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Where you can get an LA Knight or, you know, even someone like a Logan Paul.
Yeah,
have a match at like SummerSlam or even if it's like the Saudi show.
Yeah, if you want to give AJ Styles one more hurrah,
right.
Like your world heavyweight titles, I feel like the title where we can bounce around a little bit, mm-hmm. especially yep. with the WWE / Undisputed, whatever you want to call it. That title is like it's tied up in some shit,
right?
And now, do I think there's certain superstars who need to hold that title or chase after that title? Yes, but you know that title I think currently is saved for like your Cody, your Romans, your CM Punk, your Seth Rollins, your Randy Orton. Stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like the world heavyweight title is where we see our Damian Priests, our Gunthers, our Bron Breakers, maybe a one-time Chad Gable, a one-time mm-hmm. Sami Zayn, where we see like the B-plus guys, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of how it was historically for a while, was when the big gold title, the big gold, she kind of got passed around to the B stars and a couple B minus stars, you know, certain guys like a Jack Swagger probably shouldn't have held that title,
right.
But you know, which kind of diminishes it. But if you keep it, you know, with guys who the fans want to see hold a title, who put in good work, who deserve it, you know, let that title bounce around a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. I like having like long title runs. But long title runs lose their prestige when everybody has long title runs.
Right.
Like when five people who have had the title have had it for like the last 8 months,
mm-hmm.
like that's when TV gets a little bit stale. We got to rotate the door a little more.
Absolutely. We get some more Judgment Day drama. It looks like as it appears Finn is going to get his US or IC title match, and Liv wants Dom to get it. So, you know, obviously we're leading eventually to a separation. I think this, yeah, fatal four way. It'll be Penta, Braun, Dom, and Finn.
Yeah, like you got two options. You got fatal four way, or you got the one, you got Braun versus Penta and then Finn versus Dom.
Right. But I definitely think they go the fatal four-way route, which I'm not upset about. I think this would be a cool chance to maybe give Dom the belt.
Multi-man mania.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week. I don't remember.
I think it was this past Friday.
Yeah, this past Friday. So outside of that, the last thing we're really going to talk about with this Raw was the main event.
AJ and Logan Paul.
That is right. First off, Logan Paul's finisher. What's it called? The pulverizer.
Yeah.
That thing is clean.
It's clean, especially because we've seen Rey Mysterio and AJ take it. Two of the best sellers.
Yeah.
We've seen take this move so far.
So
that actually looks clean.
They made that official for Mania, right? I think I saw something where Adam Pearce made it official.
Mm-hmm.
So. Maybe not the best match for Logan Paul, but you just said it. He's in there with one of the greatest sellers, one of the greatest. You know, I'm going to assume Logan Paul gets the win. But I also think Logan Paul's one of those guys, he can take a loss like this and it's not going to matter. So he'll go away, probably go train for a boxing fight or something. I know he's got a show on Max that he's doing.
Is he doing him versus his brother? Is that still in the works?
I don't know. I think it is, but who knows?
I can remember there's some boxing match that's going to take place like a couple of days before SummerSlam or something. It's supposed to take place. Yeah. It's supposed to set up. And quick question. So if we take all the wrestlers across all the promotions of all time, is AJ Styles a top 15 wrestler of all time? What number can you comfortably say before you start to possibly make arguments? What number, like say, top 25, top 20, top 50? When do you get comfortable, like off the top of your head?
I would say at least top 25. I think the question that I would have is, are we determining this on just his in-ring work, or are we playing this like in the casual sphere where we look at the look, you know, size, promo ability? Because I think that's where AJ's lacked in his career was, I mean, he's good on the mic. He's decent. I would say top 15. Absolutely. I think a lot of people underrate his TNA work, and he carried that company for a long time. So I think when we're taking all promotions, you have to put them at least top 15.
Off the top of my head, the one thing I think AJ lacked was a lack of different character work or different characters. Right. He's always played kind of like that same kind of like Southern boy, like
That's been my sort of critique of AJ in WWE.
Wide range.
Right. And like, part of me feels like he doesn't have a gimmick. And so he's just AJ Styles. And so that to me, I think has hurt his WWE run, especially with Triple H, when Triple H really likes to push gimmicks and AJ doesn't really have it. And they've released the Bullet Club or the Good Brother. So he had a little bit of something with them. So
I liked his work with Omos. He was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. Yeah, I definitely think like the lack of depth and character in the range and character he's missing. But
especially like the evolving, like when you look at like a Chris Jericho who's all these different like characters and gimmicks, or like even like a Chad Gable, all the stuff he's gotten over.
Even someone like Kurt Angle, who you know, he could play the comedy, he can be the serious
main event mafia Kurt Angle.
Yeah. And so you know, I think with, especially because of his in-ring work and then just him carrying TNA, you definitely have to put him at least top 20.
Especially his best years were in TNA. He had great matches in WWE, but his best years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in-ring were TNA.
All right. Let's talk about this main event. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley for the title with Bianca Belair as champion. Kind of predictable. We kind of all saw how this was going to go.
I like that it did a very good job at staying in the realm of like logical thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. We all kind of figured double disqualification, and WWE could have gone very corny here and had some stupidity happen, but it was two inadvertent accidental things where first Rhea booted Bianca out of the ring, and then following that, Io coming off the top rope, Rhea moving and hitting Bianca. Very logical reaction by Bianca, like, tired of the shit. I don't care who faces me at Mania. I already have my match. So, obviously, we're going to get the triple threat. This segment, I will say, just like the other two main ones, it sold me on the triple threat for this title. And what I also think it did was make it very unpredictable on who's going to win. Because I could see Io winning. I could see Bianca winning. I could also see Rhea's the last of the three that I think could win.
I think Bianca's last of the three.
You think so?
Well, the reason I think Bianca's last of the three is, one, I know we might have a draft, but she's on SmackDown. If Bianca wins, you got to do the whole two towels over there and figure out where you're going to place her. Like, you're just going to bring her to Raw. If you bring her to Raw, you still have the untold story with her and Jade Cargill in the wing, because there's still more to that between Cargill and Naomi, and we still think Bianca's in on it. So I think Bianca has unfinished business on SmackDown. I think having the title currently convolute things again the way.
So I guess let's play this out. Could this be a situation where it is a triple threat? It's no DQ then. That Jade gets involved in the Mania match, maybe takes out Bianca.
She could, either her or maybe even Naomi could take her out.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see, but I think this is super unpredictable though between Io and Rhea. I'm leaning more, if it's between those two, I'll lean more towards Io. I think the crowd's a little bit tired of Rhea, and I think Rhea needs a break. I think there's Rhea fatigue. And a lot of us.
Hear me out. I don't think we're too far away from a Dakota Kai turn.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Dakota Kai turns soon.
Which is why, like, I mentioned that I thought, like, at some point, Io should have maybe won the women's IC title, and then that turn could happen, and that would bring prestige to the title. But if Dakota's going for the world title, that'll be crazy, because I don't know if she's quite that level, but
the reason I think she's turning is because they show her every week on TV walking into the arena with Io. And I feel
she's never like ringside with her.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is like a subconscious thing, but I feel
like when she's in a match, she doesn't happy. Yeah, but even like when Dakota has her matches, she doesn't use Damage Control's music anymore. She has her own. They're definitely preparing to either have her get kicked out of Damage Control. I think Asuka's returning soon. Kairi, I guess, is going to come back soon. So maybe that sets up some storyline there. With that, I'd be fine with that.
Week by week, it looks like Dakota is distancing herself as far as like the walk-in videos. She looks less and less excited to be walking next to Io. It's just self-conscious. I don't know if it's really happening, but.
All right. So after the match, we get Rhea Ripley, you know, tearing everyone down, ending the show with the, you know, look, standing tall over the other two. Technically, the match isn't official yet as a triple threat, but I'm assuming in the next 2 weeks it will be.
Yeah.
I don't think Adam Pearce has any other choice at this point, but. That ends Raw. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and let you have who's your best dressed of the last week of programming.
Yo, these people gotta try harder, bro.
Yeah,
Cody Rhodes is. It's hard to beat a man in a good 3-piece suit. Okay, this man coming out with the vest, with the pocket watch hanging out the pocket. Man, looking, you know, saying a well dressed man. Who else has been dressed up pretty nicely? I didn't hate Seth Rollins' outfit this week.
That's a plus.
I hate Charlotte's outfit. Charlotte's
100%. Outfit's a fucking, I don't know what the hell Charlotte doing.
She's been digging into Becky's closet. Yeah, Kathy Kelly always looks nice.
Yeah.
Oh, keep an eye out for Zoe Stark. All right. I don't know if you've been watching her social media lately, but I think she's gonna bring back the Right to Censor gimmick.
Yeah, that's what that was the feeling I was getting.
Have you been seeing her social media stuff?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
She even building off that Mickey James comment.
I was gonna say if it's sort of like she was. Yeah, it'd be cool. That's an interesting way to bring Mickey back to TV, but.
Not Mickey's Zoe Stark.
Yeah.
To bring her a little bit more character work, because Zoe doesn't really have like the sex appeal, you know. Right. What I'm saying, for most people, you know, I think she's fine.
I mean, DJ Wavy D thinks she has the sex appeal, but
yeah, But Zoya Stark, I think, can definitely, like, even if you want to do her and Shayna, but I think this would be a good way for Zoe to branch off on her own character and start to, like, you know, center some of these women. And that, you know, that story, I think you definitely should have women writers, because that story can get a little touchy or iffy depending on, you know, our snowflake audience.
I mean, that would be a good place to put, like, Mickie James as, like, a producer for it.
Yeah.
She's already got heat on her for it.
Especially since she got kicked off and replaced with Michelle McCool.
Michelle McCool, yeah. So, next one, best promo. Are you going Cody for this one?
I could think back. Yeah, I think from this week alone. Yeah, this week alone, gotta go Cody.
Yeah, so I'm kind of torn. And so I didn't mention this when we talked about it, but this is why I like WWE style of promos as compared to, like, AEW, because AEW promos, Dirty D mentions this all the time, they feel like rap battles where it feels like they're responding to each other, trying to, like, one up each other. And WWE's feel like there's intention to, like, push a story in their promos. And that's what I liked about that promo. So I'm a give it a tie. I think both of them are good. But I will say Cody Rhodes really made a name for him, at least to me, to where, like, this man stood up to the greatest of all time on the mic and held his own. Maybe to some, like you, cooked him.
So, I have been slacking a little bit with my AEW watching. I go through the YouTube page and, you know, I click on some of, like, the MJF and, like, MVP promos. I kind of been slacking on that. I did a small assignment when I was watching James and Cody's show when, you know, I was asking questions about Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. You know, they broke up and haven't seen anything from Anthony Bowens.
Yeah, I went on
AEW's YouTube page to see maybe I'm just missing it.
Nah, you ain't missing
it. Anthony Bowens hasn't been in a single AEW video or title of a video in the last, like, 4 months.
Since they broke up, I don't think he's even been on TV. I'm gonna be honest with you. all right, so best match of the last week.
I really liked that Grande Americano match from last week. Yeah. That was over a week ago. I didn't watch SmackDown.
These matches have kind of been lacking the last few weeks. It's also been hard because I haven't been watching SmackDown. So,
I like the Rhea and Io match for it ended in disqualification.
Yeah.
I was digging that match.
It was good. I don't really have an answer for this one.
Oh, I like the Finn Balor and Dominic versus Breaker and Penta match.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'll say New Day and Catch Republic. That was my match of the week.
Okay. Yeah. That was actually the one match I didn't watch. I was watching at work and I had a customer walk in, so I missed it. But,
well, they had a post match stare down between New Day and War Raiders.
Okay. So,
because
New Day wasn't War Raiders. So, was it was the New Catch Republic match that was, like, them earning their title match, right?
Kind of. So New Day were talking to Adam Pearce or whatever, like, yo, we want a title shot, whatever. Like, we want a title. They were like, Adam Pearce was like, hey, how about y'all face these guys? And they faced New Catch Republic. And then after the match, New Day had a ringside interview with Kathy Kelly. And then they called out the War Raiders, and War Raiders came out on the stage and had a stare down with
them. So are the War Raiders still dressed as Vikings?
No, they're like almost like bikers. Okay. Like you know, like leather jackets, jeans.
Okay.
Some badass shit.
That's cool. All right. Who was your underwhelming performance of the week?
Considering B-Fab wasn't on the card, I can't say B-Fab.
This man
on that's my cop out answer is B-Fab. Katana Chance Cannon Carter. You know, their performance probably wasn't bad. It was just the mention of the performing made me have to go take a shit. So I didn't watch the match.
Yeah. No. I think it was underwhelming to see them solely because they have not been on TV in like 6 months. And so their music hit and no one knew who the fuck they were. Which is crazy. When you have silence in a UK crowd, you know you're not over. Yeah. Like, because that UK crowd did not shut the fuck up the last 6 weeks. Or the European crowd. So when you have a European crowd that's quiet, when you come out, don't put you on, just don't go back on TV. I'm go back to NXT. It's where the tag team division is anyway.
They go back to Raw and hang out with the bird girl, the weird girl.
All right, and who was your MVP of the week?
MVP of the week, Adam Pearce, bro. MVP. You know, I don't know how this man is holding it together, bro. This man, yeah. I swear, every week, every Monday night, this man is battling for his life with a heart attack. Like, you know, this man got high blood pressure through the roof.
Right.
So shout out to Adam Pearce. Keep holding it down.
So my sort of, it's not my official answer, but my little playful answer here is whoever the idiot was that posted that AEW is getting 500,000 viewers on Max. Because we damn straight know that's a fucking, the propaganda machine in AEW. You know, these people like James like to talk about how Bully Ray and Mark Henry are paid shills that, you know, they only have these negative opinions because they get paid by WWE. Yet we have stupidity that comes out of Sean Ross Sapp and Dave Meltzer every single week, and they don't call them out for being, you know, propagandists either. In fact, they give them money to listen to their bullshit. But my official answer would be Stephanie Vaquer. I mean, she defended both her titles in one night. And NXT was really the only show I watched all the way through. So that's my answer. However, there won't be a show on Friday because I got to work 6 days this week, which sucks. But Sunday, I will be ranting on Ava's decision. Ava, I love you. You're the greatest GM in the business right now, in my opinion. The hell are we stripping her title, her North America? Anyway, we'll talk about that Sunday. With that, let's go to these questions. Kara starts us off with, do you feel wrestling should bring back the prestige of nameplates on titles?
Yeah, I mean, like especially the ones where you just kind of screw them on, screw them off.
Right.
I mean, especially now that we have all these fucking long-ass title runs, it's not playing too much hot potato.
Right.
I don't really see.
So I think that they sort of replaced the nameplate for
the side plates.
I don't really necessarily care, to be honest with you. I think they do the side plates because they can make money off of it and they can sell the side plates. But I think it would be cool on, but I think also with the current designs of the belts where they're sort of super corporate branding logos, like the logos are the big portion of the belt. It would look weird to have a random nameplate over the WWE logo. Whereas I think, like, you know, you mentioned the big gold earlier, it looked better to have a nameplate on it because there wasn't, like, a logo in the middle of the belt. So I think that's why they went to side plates. They both serve the same purpose, so I don't necessarily think it's something that I would complain about. Kara then asks, has your opinion on Hulk Hogan changed with the new drama coming to light surfacing on the internet, which I haven't paid attention to? Apparently his wife and Brooke have some drama going on. As your opinion, I mean, does this change the way you feel about Hulk Hogan?
No, it just sounds like he's like,
right,
like an asshole to his family also.
Right. So, I have to make this distinction. This has always been something that I say. Hulk Hogan, the character, no, this doesn't change my opinion. I still think the character is one of the most important aspects to WWE success. Terry Bollea. I know he legally changed his name to Hulk Hogan as well. The person behind the character, this isn't surprising. You mean an asshole is an asshole to everyone? I mean, it is what it is. I don't try to play into the personal drama of someone. My opinion has always been I make a distinction between the character and the guy playing the character, just like I do with any actor or actress. I don't necessarily care about it. It doesn't really change anything. That's how I look at the character. Okay, so I think this was B Master. He said, you know how Austin, Rock, and Cena had their own custom belts? Would you like to see something like that brought back, even if it's just their logo where the WWE logo is on the front?
I mean, I'm not against custom titles, but they got to look good. I don't want to see your logo in the middle of the title. I want to see some creativity.
I also think you have to have a purpose for it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be like the only one I can think of right now would be Roman and Cody, who would even deserve spending the money to have a custom belt made for you.
Mm.
Like Montez Ford, as great as he is at this current point, they shouldn't have like custom tag belts for the Street Profits. Mm.
When Johnson got the spinner belt, it matched his gimmick.
Right. So the only other one I would think of would be like Tiffany, where they should have given her a pink belt. At least the strap be different. I don't know if necessarily there's anyone on the roster right now that is even in that level where it would make sense gimmick-wise or even like name brand-wise to do that.
Yeah, if you look at the Stone Cold, he only brought his out for a short period of time. Yeah. It wasn't like it got passed on from wrestler to wrestler.
Right.
And The Rock, his never made TV. Then he brings like one house show.
I think something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, his never saw TV. Cena's was the only real one that had like a custom title. Right. I mean, I know the Edge put like the R symbol on it.
Right.
And then The Miz was just the upside down WWE logo. But his was still a spinner title just stuck in place.
Right.
So, I mean, like, the spinner title, I'm surprised that it was kept the same for so long, mm-hmm. considering all different wrestlers who held it. Because, like, the spinner title didn't really match them. Mm-hmm. Like it's funny when I see Triple H hold up the spinner belt. In wrestlers like that. That's another reason why The Undertaker held on to the big gold. Because I think Archer will look silly.
Yeah.
Spinner belt.
Next question from B Master. Why is it that we have talent like Charlotte and Cody always in the main event, but we don't see someone like Dominic or Braun Breaker in main event pictures? Do you think it's their dad? Do you think their dads are whispering sweet nothings in Triple H's ear?
Yo, B Master has been on the nepotism lately.
Yeah, he's been this sort of spawned from a little bit of the casual wrestling Discord, where he put Charlotte Flair ranked as like D tier, like casual ghost or whatever in the rankings that Dirty D had us do. So my answer is going to be the same as I told him there. Did Charlotte Flair get an upper hand because of her name? Sure. But at some point we have to recognize that she put in work to get to where she's at. She didn't just start wrestling and all of a sudden turn out, like, get handed this opportunity to be a 12-time or something ridiculous amount of women's champion. She had to put in that work to get there. Same with Cody. Same with Dominic. I also think, like, I think it's too early to throw out Braun Breaker's name here. He's, what, less than a year on the main roster?
Yeah.
And so I think they've treated him in a way to where he still feels important and dangerous without sort of feeding him to the people in the main event. And Dominic's just, he's found his niche as like this heel gimmick that's sort of comedic at times. And so I would still say Dominic is just as successful as a Cody, even though he doesn't have the title. Because I don't necessarily think success should be determined by the amount of titles that you have, because the titles in reality, they're just props to push storylines. And so Dominic doesn't, I think he's evolved around beyond needing a title to be relevant. I think Dominic's just relevant by himself.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that?
Sorry, one second. I'm placing an emergency FanDuel bet because I got a notification from ESPN that Steph Curry was entering the fourth quarter with 11 made threes, and he just needed like 14 or 15 to break the NBA record for threes in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to place a quick bet. Because dang it, when I was in the middle of putting the bet in, it was $10 to win $92.
Mm.
But then as I was like transferring money over and accepting the new odds, it dropped down to like $64.
I mean, it's still a good bet, a little quick bet. But what is it? Is he gonna break the record? Is that the bet?
Yeah, so I think to tie it is 14. Yeah, the record's currently at 14.
Yeah,
to break it is 15. He going into the fourth quarter, he had 11.
Okay, no, he'll hit it.
He currently has 45 points. And so, you know, I try to get a little free. You know, I bought a bed frame earlier today. I bought a new bed frame on Amazon. It was like $54. So I was like, let me try to make my money back real fast.
Right.
And also this past weekend, I bought a PS5.
Yeah.
So, you know, the PS5 with the warranty plus the game.
Yeah.
And all PlayStation Pro and all this shit. I thought I was going to spend like $400 going in. Came out and spent like $520 to $525. So I was like, damn. But, yep. You know, I'm here for Sea of Thieves, boy. And yep. The NBA 2K parties.
Yeah.
I'm here for 2K. Where were we? Oh, he talks about Charlotte and the nepotism and everything.
This nepotism.
So Bron Breakker and Finn Balor and Dom Mysterio and all these guys, like, they're in weekly main event. Like, they're weekly main event wrestlers.
Right. Right.
They wrestle on Raw main event. They wrestle on SmackDown main event. Now, as far as going to the PLEs, you got to think of it. The PLEs, if you're not in the world title picture, you're 90% chance not going to be in the main event.
Right.
So until these guys are going for world titles, they're not going to be in the main event. Like when do tag team championships main event at PLE?
Right.
Especially under
Triple H, like it's not going to happen.
Exactly. When is the IC title main event a PLE?
Yeah. I think we also have to recognize we're not in the Vince era anymore. Triple H really views Raw and SmackDown as the mid-card place to challenge for titles. I think we'll see a lot of IC, US, tag team, the women's mid-card. They'll be defended a lot on Raw and SmackDown, and then the PLE is going to be the place where our big money draws, our grudge matches, our world titles, our women's world championships, that's where they'll get defended.
Mm.
All right. And then the last question, B-Master asks, do you think wrestling relies too much on nostalgia?
Yes.
I think that's an easy answer, yes. But I also think it's because the fans want nostalgia.
Wrestling is like sports. It's a generational. You watch it with your father, your mom, yep. your aunt, your uncle, and then you watch it with your children and your grandchildren. Mm. And it's like, you know, you always got the old heads who was like, you know, this Cody Rhodes, man, he ain't nothing like the when I was watching with right. the Hulk Hogan and the Roddy Piper. You know, so even like when you watch like Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp, like during like WrestleMania week, when like the one time it's about wrestling. Like, you know, when like Roman Reigns comes on for an interview on ESPN and Stephen A's like, you know, I come from the era of Ultimate Warrior and
right.
Iron Sheik and Macho Man Randy Savage and all this and all this bullshit. So I mean, like, you know,
bro, Stephen A. Extra.
Yeah. And you know, so you know, wrestling comes with nostalgia. Even us in like our 20s and going into our 30s, we're like, yo, remember, yo, Rey Mysterio back in the day, or Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Jeff Hardy had the world on a chokehold in 2008. He was like second most popular man that, like, besides Barack Obama and all this other stuff. And you know, wrestling is a historic thing, so you know,
I think. As much as we can try to complain about nostalgia, it's always going to be there, just like you said. But I think most sports are nostalgic. I think the fans want it to be nostalgic because wrestling is a place where it's about moments. It's about memories. You know, when we're, you know, 65 and we're sitting here, man, reminiscing on WrestleMania 30 and how Taker streak ended and Daniel Bryan won the title. I mean, it's going to be one of those things. I forgot, though. We got one more question. B-Master specifically asked you this question, and you said you had an answer for him. So we're going to break this down before we go into bracket battles. He said, my friend just got out of a bad relationship and is on Tinder, Hilly, and Bumble. Which one should he spend his money on for the shot at love?
No, the short answer is none of them, okay? Don't spend no money. All right, don't spend any money on a dating app, okay?
Facts.
Because dating apps are built for you to spend money, especially if you're a man. They're built for you to spend money, especially if you're an average to below average looking man. They're built for you to spend money, okay? There's like, hey, we got like, especially like Hilly and stuff. I was talking big ups on Hilly, big ups on
Duet
earlier this year. And, you know, I was getting a bunch of matches like first two weeks. But then I realized a lot of them were like OnlyFans models or strippers and all this other stuff or bots. Duet, actually, you have to like verify your face or verify your person. So that one's not terrible. But I historically have had the most luck on Hinge. Okay. Yes. Hinge is starting is because Tinder is starting to die off. Tinder's dead.
Well, I also think
their service is terrible.
I also think Tinder is no longer like for dating. It used to be, but now it's more so the hookup app.
Hey, not even. It's to promote your OnlyFans at this point.
Right.
It's bots and OnlyFans. Bumble. Old premise of Bumble is stupid because 99% of women don't make the first move, and if they do, it's hi or hey.
Right, which is what they complain at us about. If exactly. That's how we would respond. Like, I've complained about Bumble forever. Like, the woman who created Bumble absolutely had no idea how relationships work, because guys are sort of required to make the first move. So,
and like, you know, I mean, it's one thing if Bumble was like, hey, either of you guys can message first,
which I think they've moved to that now.
Well, I don't use it. I deleted it.
I don't use it no more.
It's like the woman had to make the first move, and say you match with someone who like you think could have been like your perfect match or whatever.
Right.
But say they're like on vacation that week or something.
You only get 24 hours.
It's crazy.
Stupid.
So I would say if you had to pick one, I would say Hinge. Hinge, because one, you can send a message with your like you can send like a pickup line or opening line or opening message. And if you're good at your words and you're good at conversating, you can you can catch their attention with more than just a like. You do get like one super like per day or per like week or whatever. So you use that super like wisely. That rose is what it's called.
Yeah.
Hinge does have like a lot of like prompts, so you can like it's asking you to talk more about yourself and like your interests.
Yeah. I also like with Hinge, they allow you to do like voice prompts, because if you're weird like me and you're a voice person, like that's something that I judge people on. Like it takes away the, you know, I like you, you're attractive, but then I get on the phone with you and you sound like Peter, and then I gotta hang up because I am.
Exactly. So Professor Wavy D recommends Hinge. I'll always stand by Hinge. Hinge will have my support always. Now, as far as paying, I say don't pay. But if your boy insists on buying the pro thing to expedite the process, you know, I would say Hinge is your way to go.
Yeah. If you're going to pay, Hinge is the way. That's I'll agree with everything you just said. Now, I will go ahead.
Don't sleep on Facebook dating. Don't sleep Facebook on dating Facebook crazy dating.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're below average.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of average women on Facebook dating.
Yeah. So I will go ahead and just tell you, boy, get off Tinder. It's not useful. Don't be there. Yes. Get off Bumble. It's not useful. I don't use Hilly anymore. I didn't really necessarily care for it. Duet's okay, except when you do the little blind dating thing and then you talk and it's working great. And then you click on it and they're 17,000 miles away.
Exactly.
And then they stop messaging you. It's crazy. But yeah, we'll leave it there. That's a great answer. I'll second everything he said. With that, let's jump into our bracket battles. I'll post the updated bracket from last week in the Discord as well when I post this week's battles. The first one, we have Chris Jericho, Break the Walls Down.
Break the walls down, break down walls.
Versus The Rock, If You Smell.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
This was tough. This is like, because this is both our childhoods. Okay. Like, I'm going Break the Walls Down, though. I think it has more appeal to me.
Now, which version of the Rock song is this? Because man, it's like five different versions of the same song.
Yeah, the same song. So this one, the one that I have the link to is the 2001 to 2003 version.
Well, it was like The Rock Says, Rock Says.
Yeah.
Like the iconic one, not that other different version.
Yeah, it's not Electrifying, which is like 2014 one when he came back. It's not that one. It's the original, like If You Smell, from like 2001.
I'll say Breakdown Walls, Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I like that. Matchup number two, we get our first AEW matchup here with MJF's Dig Deep, which is his original and the one he's currently using now, versus Drew McIntyre, Broken Dreams.
It's terrible. This one I don't like.
Yeah.
The Rock said. Wait, is this one that says this?
I'll have the link to the one that I'll put it in the Discord. You can listen to it before you vote.
I'm listening to it right now. Yeah. I still pick the Chris Jericho one. Okay. I like the one where in the background it repeatedly says The Rock says.
Yeah.
The Rock says. I like that version. I don't like the one where it doesn't have that background vocal.
Okay.
That one's bad. But yeah, so MJF versus
Broken Dreams, Drew McIntyre.
Broken Dreams, that's the old one, right? That's his original one?
Yeah.
Ooh, that Broken Dreams one kind of hit hard.
Yeah.
Especially the intro video that played before he came out, where like it was like the ink hitting the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. MJF is nice, but like, there's way better theme songs. I just like his. I like how like MJF's theme song necessarily doesn't really match his character,
mm-hmm.
or like it doesn't like sound like a main event wrestler's theme song. It sounds like it belongs to almost like a like insert random jobber here, mm-hmm. like da 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 da
da. And it's one of the weaker ones AEW has. Like, I think you said earlier that your hot take was AEW has better theme songs currently, which I will agree with because Death Rebel sucks. But
and they also, it's like real music is licensed it.
Right.
Use it. I'll go with Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Broken Dreams all the way for this one. We got another AEW song here. We're going Chris Jericho, Judas versus Booker T. Can you dig it?
Booker T. Booker T. Can you dig it, sucker? Da-da-da-da.
Yeah. So I'm conflicted with this one because I love Booker T's theme song. But Judas is a bop.
If you're live, I guess.
Yeah, I think it has a better sing-along. But if we're going based on just the theme alone, Booker T.
Can you dig it, sucker?
And this one might be the toughest matchup of the four. We got John Cena, My Time Is Now, versus Edge Metalingus.
Ooh. So you can't see me. My time is now. Now it's a franchise. I'm shining now. Now you can't see me. My time is now. In case you forgot, I swell off. I'm still hot and I can shell off. My money's that pack and I can't turn a swell off. I'm a franchise. A big business. A list. All Mac. You see all Mac. You win this. Fuck. Wait, how it go again? A big business. A list. I don't know. Lay ass down for the 3 second tan. I can't see. Oh no, wrong song. You think you know me? I'm trying to give y'all audience, you know, like a. I'm trying to do our best while getting copyrighted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, give the best me my time do. Is. Yeah, give my time is now. Okay. Just because there was a whole stretch of life until just now where I could rap that song bar for bar.
Yeah, I think My Time Is Now. Yeah, that's definitely my pick. I think there's more mass appeal, like commercial appeal behind it. I mean the record went platinum, so I mean people love the song. It's when I listen to wrestling theme songs and when I judge them, it's sort of like wrestling t-shirts. Can I listen to this in public and people not questioning what the hell I'm listening to? Because I feel like a lot of wrestling songs sound very cartoonish now. And Metalingus is a great song. It's on my playlist. Well, I can play it.
Metalingus sounds better, in my opinion, when it's cut up for Edge's theme song than the whole song itself. Like the original version without the cut up part.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, if we're judging the song, the part that Edge made popular was the chorus.
Mm.
So, My Time Is Now, I think, is the better theme.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot and I can shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I lit this. It's automatic. I witness. You hear the horns. You finish. I'm a soldier. And that's the under you fighting. Because I'm storming. You jumps like a thunder and lightning. And the way you breaking me, kid, I'm harder than nails. Plus, I keep it all locked like I'm part of jails. I'm sorry and still competition. I got the whole block. Wish they could run my division, but they going fishing. But your boy going fishing with no bait. Catch your boy whole weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any way, I'm never better. Your boy so hot. You'll catch me with the next man's sweater. If he hate, let him hate. I'll drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 second tan.
I've already rapped the song on the podcast. You're gonna have to go back and find that. So I'm not gonna do it again. But so there's those four matchups. Those will be posted in the Discord page. Go join it to go vote for that. And as always, we'll have Wavy D end us off with the final word.
All right. I'm just one with cheers, okay? All right, a cheers that you guys could say at your next friends reunion, your friends giving, hanging out with your peoples they haven't seen in a while. Okay, there are wooden ships and there are metal ships and there are ships that sail the sea, but the best ships are friendships, and that's what y'all mean to me. Amen. And although this is to honor, all right. You get honor, you can give honor, but if you you can't come in or you come honor. All right.
Woo. That's a word right there. All right. And with that, we will end the Slapping Me Wrestling podcast. I'm Way Too Deep. That's DJ Wavy D. The next episode will be on Sunday. Until then, y'all have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.